Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at an article that was published on December 17th, 2019. It came out originally from the Washington Post, titled, Mormon Church Has Misled Members on $100 Billion Tax-Exempt Investment Fund, Whistleblower Alleges. And we're going through this article because, as I mentioned in yesterday's show, I'm trying to be as objective as possible when it comes to the complaints by this whistleblower. And sometimes it's easy to let emotions get ahead of us, and we see a very inflammatory title for this article, such as the one I just read. And I think as Christians, we need to be much more cautious and listen to as many of the facts that we can possibly glean and then make a decision. And this is one of the reasons why we've waited this long to do a show on this subject. And I hope that I can encourage my fellow Christians that even though we might see this $100 billion that is in this investment firm called Ensign Peak, which is a supporting organization and integrated auxiliary of the Mormon Church, as I asked in the opening of yesterday's show, how much money is too much money for a church? There's no answer to that question. The IRS doesn't even have an amount where they say this is the cap that a nonprofit organization or a church entity is allowed to bring in or even put away for, quote unquote, a rainy day. The IRS doesn't even have a number for this. So even though some may claim that having $100 billion squirreled away in an investment portfolio might be unethical, bordering on immoral, that is a personal subjective conclusion. It's not really an objective conclusion, and it doesn't prove that the Mormon Church has done anything illegal. And I think we need to keep all that into perspective, because in this article that we're going through by the Washington Post, there's a paragraph in here that describes the whistleblower. It's a man by the name of David A. Nielsen, who worked for Ensign Peak, and he no longer works there. He worked there until September of 2019. He was a senior portfolio manager at the church's investment division, the article says. But in this article, it goes on to say, in a declaration signed under penalty of perjury, Nielsen urges the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, to strip the nonprofit of its tax-exempt status and alleges that Ensign could owe billions in taxes. He is seeking a reward from the IRS, which offers whistleblowers a cut of unpaid taxes that it recovers.
Now, Bill, something that we don't get to know about, and we do not know, you and I do not know why he was let go from Ensign Peaks in September, a few months before this is reported, but there certainly is a financial motive for him to bring this out. Maybe he just wants the church to have trouble with its membership, who probably many members are not going to like this and may stop their tithing. So he has done great damage, whether or not he's accurate or not. But what do you say that the church ought to lose its tax-exempt status and that they ought to owe billions in taxes?
Well, here's the thing. If the church has, in fact, done something that is illegal, knowingly illegal, I would say perhaps there's a case here. Maybe the IRS should look into this. Maybe Nielsen's assumptions are correct. We don't know. That's the problem, Eric. You're right. There's a lot we don't know about this, but I'm sure a lot of people are drawing conclusions based on the limited information that they have. But to say that the church should be stripped of its nonprofit tax-exempt status over what this person is alleging becomes troublesome, especially when you hear Christians echoing for that same type of punishment. Personally, I would say that if, in fact, the church did do some things with its income that it shouldn't have done, first of all, you're going to have to prove that they knowingly did something illegal. If you can't prove that they knowingly did something illegal, at best, the IRS will probably send them a letter saying, look, you did this, you shouldn't have done it that way, this is what you owe in back taxes, plus these are the penalties. The church will still go on as a church, as a nonprofit entity. It will not be dissolved over that. So I think Nielsen is asking for an awful lot. He better have a lot of firm, substantial evidence behind this complaint if he's asking for the IRS to strip the church of its nonprofit status. That's a large order, I would say, on his part, because he's making some accusations that need to be proven, and of course they would have to be proven in a court of law. Now, the church has argued, and I've been studying this for over 40 years, and I've on many occasions gone to bat for the church when people talk about all the church holds as far as properties and income properties, including even City Creek downtown, a huge shopping mall. But I've always understood that when it comes to the money-making ventures of the LDS Church, that they pay taxes on those money-making ventures. They are paying taxes on, for instance, City Creek Mall, and they are paying taxes on other business ventures that the church is behind. That's not illegal. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing when it comes to their money-making ventures.
The article quotes the presiding bishop, Gerald Cause. The article reports him as being a high-ranking cleric. Well, yeah, he's a pretty important person. And he says, what you're saying, Bill, that the church pays taxes on any income it derives from revenue-producing activities that are regularly carried on and are not substantially related to its tax-exempt purposes. So for City Creek Mall, they rent out the place, lease the different places in the building, and that money that they make off of that is certainly going to be taxed money, and I'm sure the church is not going to be foolish enough to try to take that and move that into its accounts without paying the proper taxes.
I would agree with you. I don't think they would be foolish enough to do that. And this is why I'm kind of skeptical about the accusations that are being made by Nielsen. Now, again, I don't know what kind of evidence he has. I'm just going by this article that I'm reading here. The church, we know, being a large organization, is naturally going to bring in a lot of tithe revenue. And the article talks about that as well.
It says the church typically collects about $7 billion each year in contributions from members, according to the complaint. Mormons, like members of some other faith groups, are asked to contribute 10% of their income to the church, a practice known as tithing. While about $6 billion of that income is used to cover annual operating costs, the remaining $1 billion or so is transferred to Ensign, which plows some into an investment portfolio to generate returns, according to the complaint.
Now, D. Michael Quinn, who is officially a former Mormon. He was excommunicated from the church back in 1993. But D. Michael Quinn has written three very good books on what he calls the Mormon hierarchy. And one of the books that he wrote was called Mormon Hierarchy, Wealth and Corporate Power. This one came out in 2017. In that book, he goes into a lot of detail as far as how the church has handled its funds since the very beginning. Well, D. Michael Quinn was interviewed for another article that was published on this very subject, and Quinn challenges that $7 billion number.
Bill, I'm looking on page 35 of the book that you just mentioned, The Mormon Hierarchy, and he lists a table, 1.7, and it's the LDS Church's tithing extrapolated 1960 to 2010 in U.S. dollars based on average annual increase of 12.9%. And in here, he says that the church had been making $7 billion in 1997 And then in 2010, he says that the annual tithing was $33.7 billion, a much different number than what the whistleblower is using at $7 billion. And so in the Salt Lake Tribune article that is on this very story that's dated on December 17, 2019, they quote D. Michael Quinn. They call him a historian who has studied LDS church finances. He said the income figures cited in the complaint are difficult to reconcile with his own research, which suggests annual tithing receipts of roughly $35 billion. And then he said, to me, that's low, Quinn said of the complaint's $7 billion income estimate. Very low for tithing.
But should we be shocked that the church even brings in $35 billion in tithing? It's a church of 16 million plus members, so I'm not totally shocked that the numbers would be that high. But I don't know where they got the $7 billion in this complaint. And my question is, does Ensign Peak have the tithing numbers available to them when it doesn't seem like that's the kind of group that would be taking the tithing money in the first place? Does it to you?
No.
How would they know this? I don't know. That they don't say in this article how they came to that number, but I think Quinn is probably much more accurate when he comes up with his $35 billion number.
He documents everything. And in this book, The Mormon Hierarchy, we get no documentation from the whistleblower. $7 billion seems rather low to me, because if you had 16 million people giving a dollar a day for 365 days of the year, you would have a total of close to $6 billion. That's just $1 a day. Now, I realize not everybody is able to give in other countries, third world countries. They might not be able to give very much. But at the same time, I think that $7 billion sounds rather low when you have 16 million members, and many of them are tithing because they want to get the very best this religion has to offer through the temple, which requires 10% to be able to get into the temple.
I think you're right. It's kind of hard to believe that, let's say, a member of the LDS Church living in Haiti is going to give a substantial amount of their income because of just how poor that country is to begin with. And let's also figure in the fact that we can't count children, okay? Even though a Mormon family, let's say on average, just hypothetically, that a family of five was to give a dollar for each family member, five times seven is $35 a week. Still, in an American situation, that seems pretty low. Certainly when you have some people in the United States tithing in the millions, that certainly would make up for a deficit, let's say, from the tithe payers in Haiti. Still, you would think that that $7 billion is a very low figure. As I said before, I do think that Quinn's number, closer to $35 billion, is probably more accurate. The question we have to ask ourselves, should that shock us? It doesn't shock me, and I would be surprised if it would shock too many people.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations compiled by Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever, is a valuable resource when wanting to know what Mormon leaders have said on a given topic. Pick up your copy at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or mrm.org.